yeah, all of this stuff is amazing and achieving this is amazing, but there's much more to life and a lot of, things that matter, I'm gonna say matter more than golf, that are more important than golf.
Welcome back to Any Given Monday, one of the most special podcasts that I have done, probably the most special. Hayden Springer, who just got his PGA Tour card a month after losing his three-year-old daughter, Sage, who had trisomy 18. It's the story of the year in golf, in my opinion. And Hayden was nice enough to join us. And then at the end, Emma joined us, also his wife. And both of them have been super special to me. Around 3 years ago, I told their story when I worked at Fire Pit and have followed their progress and stayed in touch. No Sage's up and downs via them. They're an amazing family. They really lean on their faith, and they talk openly about what this moment means. So first is Hayden. He talks about what happened on 16, a great caddy decision. Talks about hitting it in the water and what it feels like, and then what that moment is like and the true meaning of bittersweet moment when he tapped in to get his PGA Tour card. He missed his daughter, obviously, and the greatest part of his career is happening at the same moment. So at the end, Emma joins us. The part's going to be for subscribers only. It's super special. Don't forget to subscribe. She does an amazing job behind the scenes to make this family work. And so, it's just a special family and an amazing interview, and I hope you enjoy it. So without further ado, Hayden and Emma Springer. We are here with Hayden Springer. Hayden, what has the last week been like? Have you had any time to think about what has just happened?
Yeah, it's been pretty special. It's kind of like, in a way, the first time that I've in achieving this dream of, becoming a PGA Tour member and all of that stuff. It's kind of like, that first time where you're like, okay, this is like next level kind of, in terms of like that feeling of achievement and success. And like, and of course there's still a lot more that I want to accomplish and chase after. But no, it's been a busy last like 3 or 4 days trying to get stuff figured out and just kind of like get back home and, but it's all good things and it's all stuff that's exciting. And, we're looking forward to what's to come.
I want to get back because I think obviously almost everyone know now you got through Q school, but the journey there, I mean, we're talking 4 or 5 months ago, you were looking at first stage directly in the face. So let's first ask, how many, you turn on your phone, how many text messages did you have? Hey, do you remember looking at the number?
I think I had like 280 at one point, I've had a ton of messages on Instagram and Facebook, Twitter, like all that stuff. I think I just got through going like on my text yesterday. I was able to finally like get through all of them and make sure that I replied to everybody. And, that's important to me too, is like making sure that I, get back to everyone that's reached out to me and say thank you. And, but I mean, we've had a ton of support, and not just now, I mean, through the last few years and this entire journey, like we've had a ton of support and, like that means a lot to us.
Obviously, Hayden, the family side and the golf side interact, but just to start, let's start with the golf side. You had conditional status to begin this season on Korn Ferry, got an exemption or two, got into a few events, not play well. In fact, like you skipped the first three Canadian events. I think it was three. Mm-hmm. Like when you have Korn Ferry status and you believe no matter what, you believe you can play it, that's the tour you want to play on, right, Hayden?
Right, yeah. I mean, I was, I played poorly at final stage last year, and that hurts. Like you have this opportunity. It's like, okay, this is the next step, and having that chance to get onto the Corn Ferry Tour, and you know, I was pretty bummed, and it hurt to not play well at finals. And then it's like, okay, now we got to change our focus to, let's try to get some, you know, hopefully we can maybe get some sponsor exemptions. We're going to play some Mondays, and we're going to try to get in the reshuffles and kind of see what happens from there. And I was fortunate to get a few sponsor exemptions, but I didn't play well in those. You know, well, later in the summer, I got one into Wichita, and I made the cut there, but it wasn't like a crazy high finish. And so kind of actually Wichita was, it's a pretty pivotal moment for me, because I wasn't even in the Canadian Tour events based on my Korn Ferry status playing in the Korn Ferry category on Canada until I reshuffled after finishing like 50 something in Wichita. That reshuffled me into where then I could get into those Canada events. And, you know, then it was like, okay, now let's make a decision. I think there was maybe only 7 or 8 Korn Ferry Tour events left. Or do I go play the last 7 Canada events? And we kind of, you know, most everybody that I talked to was like, it's probably best to go play in Canada. Let's get some full events. And so that was like, all right, let's go do that. And, you know, that was my first time being up there and all that stuff. And it ended up working out really well. You know, which I can look back now and be happy that I made that decision and all that stuff. But definitely, you know, at a minimum, there's a huge difference of playing Korn Ferry Tour versus the, you know, now what PGA Tour America's versus mini tours and Mondays and all of that stuff, just that stability. And then also the opportunities and the money and all of that stuff makes a huge difference.
I mean, is it mental side too, Hayden? Like, you get to final stage last year and you're like pretty set that you're going to play the Korn Ferry Tour. Obviously, even after you play poorly, I've been around enough pros to think like, hey, I'm in a Monday, or I'm going to take advantage of these sponsors exemptions and I'm going to reshuffle in. And when you decide like, hey, I got to go back to Canada, I know you haven't been there, but you've been on the Latino America Tour, so you know relatively what you're facing. Is it mentally tough to go like, hey, I got to go refocus, I'm taking a step back again, but I got to go up there with the right mentality to get back here?
Yeah, it definitely felt like, in a way, a step back, you know, like, you know, yeah, I mean, I was very hopeful that I would take advantage of the sponsor exemptions that I got. And but at the end of the day, you know, I tried to make some swing changes and different things. And I think my focus had kind of shifted away from scoring and playing good golf. And so I, you know, through all of it, I learned a lot. And then going up to Canada, it definitely felt like a step back, but it was one of those things that, you know, it's just trying to be positive and make the most of those opportunities. And, you know, and at the end of the day, now I learned a lot, and I learned a lot because I was able to put myself in those positions to win golf tournaments, to play towards you know, those final groupings on Saturday and Sunday and get kind of that experience. And Canada is great. You know, you get some fans out there, you got the Pro V1s on the range. It has maybe a little bit more of a feel, to some Korn Ferry events and stuff like that. And so it was good to kind of get that experience. You know, and so I'm grateful for that opportunity. It worked out very well for me. And I think overall, I'm better because of it. You know, I don't know what the other side may have looked like if I would have played a full year on Korn Ferry or whatever that might be. We'll never know. But, you know, definitely, like, those experiences were good. I learned a lot. And so, I mean, you know, I can sit here and be grateful for those experiences.
And again, for the people that know Hayden's story, for the most part, just to reiterate how far this has come. 3 events left in the season. I didn't look, Hayden, to see what you were on points, but Hayden played solid in his first 5 or 4 events up there. Missed a cut in Windsor. Like, we're talking at the end of August, 3 events left in the season. You're headed back to first stage. I mean, like, it's pretty much like you'd have to play perfect golf. Now you did, but you'd have to play pretty perfect golf to start skipping stages.
Right. I think I was maybe 55th on the points list, somewhere right around there, heading into that, I guess, eighth tournament of the year, with only three left. And yeah, I mean, I was pretty close to perfect golf there in that last stretch. And it's funny, the tournament in Minnesota, the ninth tournament after I won in Winnipeg, I was playing well, and I went out on Sunday and I made 18 pars in a row, and I was just kind of like, you know, wow, like that really, I've never done that before. And just kind of, you know, and I still had a good finish and still had good momentum moving into the Tour Championship. And, you know, it's funny how it works in golf, like just kind of those little stretches where you can just find a few things and then kind of just continue to build on it and keep that momentum rolling. You know, so, but yeah, it was nice to have those experiences.
So you win, you finish sixth, then you win the Tour Championship. It locks in full Korn Ferry status. I mean, I said in an article for Fried Egg, it's like there's no such thing as, you know, like when you're talking the difference between Korn Ferry status and PGA Tour status, the term nothing to lose doesn't really come into effect. But you do have the backup that you have full status as Korn Ferry no matter what. So once you got in contention, Hayden, does that enter your mind, or do you have to just focus on the fact that, like, hey, I got to get in the top five? Or is it, again, is it making it easier that you know that no matter what, you have a full Korn Ferry season and you can make your schedule?
I don't know. It's kind of a hard thing to, like, kind of describe, because I really truthfully didn't. It wasn't, like, on my mind all that much of, you know, like at the event last week. The kind of course I knew, you know, for next year I was going to have the full Korn Ferry status no matter what happened, but the reality is like you show up there and there's still more to gain, and you know, you show up to win a golf tournament, and so I really wasn't thinking a whole lot about that as far as like, oh, whatever happens, you know, it's fine. I have a backup plan. It's like, well, no, I want to be on the PGA Tour, and I want to chase after that. And so I don't know if it really changes anything as far as your stress and you know, all that has to go into those, that, you know, Monday finish and stuff. I mean, because too, if you think about, like, you know, if you're right around that point, you're most likely going to get 12 starts anyways on Korn Ferry. If you don't finish top five, you kind of, you know, so I think everybody that was right around there, it's still just as stressful as it would be if there was nothing on the line there. But it is nice, you know, obviously, with that, knowing you can have 12 starts, or in my case, have that full status and all of that stuff.
Did you – obviously, you were playing well, but – did you go in knowing that, for those listening that don't know, like, pro golfers within reason kind of know where their game is at going in? Did you feel super confident going into the week, Hayden?
I mean, I hadn't played a whole lot of golf in the last month. Really, actually longer than that, closer to 2 months, I hadn't played in really in anything. I played an APT event, you know, in Dallas the week before. So I kind of got to see where my game was at, and I played solid. You know, it was kind of, and yeah, it was just solid. So I felt like I was in an okay place. It wasn't like I was, you know, I wouldn't say I was walking into the week like, you know, I'm striping it and this is a done deal. And it wasn't a thing of like, I have no, you know, I've got nothing and we got to go figure it out. It was kind of just somewhere in between. And then I think the kind of the weather and with all the wind and stuff that we had during the week, it kind of makes It kind of throws out any sort of, if you're on kind of like, I'm not hitting it perfect or I'm hitting it perfect, it kind of tosses that stuff out and makes it, now it's just about playing golf and more of a mental test. And, you know, and I think that might've been good for me to just kind of be able to grind it out and put my head down and have it be more of a mental battle and, making the right decisions. And my caddy is awesome. You know, like I can't say enough good things about him and just the time that we have out there, and it's fun, but it's also, he helps me make the right decisions. And I think that that's so key in playing good quality golf, is just managing the game properly. And we did a really good job of that this week, even if I may have had a few, you know, you don't have to hit it perfect, but as long as you manage the golf course and manage yourself and the game well, it can be, good stuff can happen. And unfortunately I was able to do that, you know, well this week.
So I know we're shortening the entire week down to three holes, but you brought up Michael, your caddy. You're on 16. You have a 5-wood. I talked to Michael just before. You have a 5-wood into a green, protected by water. Doc had just hit it in the water there. Kind of walk me through that conversation, Hayden, because you were pretty set on 5-wood from what I understand.
Yeah, it's funny because I didn't really look at leaderboards all day. So, I mean, for, you know, I peaked a little bit and could kind of tell maybe, you know, I knew I was in a good spot making the turn. But kind of later into that back nine, I really wasn't looking all that much. I wanted to just be able to focus. And so then standing there on 16, I since I didn't really know exactly where I stood, I was like, you know, it's a scary shot, but it might be one I got to suck it up a little bit and go hit a 5-wood and hit a great shot and make a birdie. But Michael was definitely, we had a good conversation. We stood there for probably, I don't know how long it was, 30 seconds maybe, going back and forth. And he was pretty adamant that I should just hit a pitching wedge out there to 120 yards out and then go hit a wedge. And, you know, I wanted to hit 5-wood, but I understood kind of that bad things can happen with a 5-wood and not much bad can happen laying up. And then also too, with where they had the pin and kind of in a bowl, it's like, hey, that wedge shot from 120 is pretty straightforward. So he won that argument. I figured he probably knew where we stood too, and I didn't know. So I was kind of like, you know, I'll go with him on this one. You know, unfortunately that, you know, yeah, that was probably the right decision.
for people that will never be in that position, myself included, 17, as the ball's in the air, Hayden, and you know it's in the water, like, it, how quickly do you switch from like, oh shit, to like, I gotta kind of forget about it and just, you know, make the drop and go from there? Like, as that ball's in the air, there has – can you describe what you're feeling?
You know, I felt like I made a decent swing, and it's kind of funny because, you know, a lot of times when you miss fairly big like that, you kind of know pretty early that it's going to be a miss. And I felt like I made a good swing. I hit it fairly solid. But, yeah, and then I look up and it started left and the wind had it and was moving it more to the left. It's just kind of like in that moment, you're like, part of it too is because I didn't know exactly where I stood. So it's like, I don't want to get too emotional either way because I don't know where I stand. Mm-hmm. I just need to make the most of this and hope that it's enough, you know, try and salvage whatever I can. And the thing that was tough is going down there to drop where my ball had crossed, the slope was just crazy. So I'm like, I can't take two club lengths right on that point and drop this ball right here because I'm probably going to have to hit like a sand wedge and just chip it out. So fortunately I was able to go back like 50 yards and get on line with the pin 50 yards and drop it right outside of the bunker on a pretty flat area. and I got a great lie that was going to be a huge flyer, and I think we had something like 240 yards. And it was such a big flyer that I pulled out 5-iron and just, you know, it's like, okay, middle of the green and rip it. And the wind was pretty hard off the right, and so it drifted it left into that bunker. But I just feel like I was kind of like, you know, sort of just trying to focus and maintain my, maintain that. I don't know, because I didn't know exactly where I stood. So I'm just trying to focus and make the most of it. And, it all worked out, but it was definitely stressful. And then standing on 18T after doing what I did on 17, I was like, all right, 5-wood, because I wanted to go to the safe side of things. And I know, okay, 5-wood, I can't do – nothing crazy can happen. And then Michael was like, no, let's hit 3-wood. That's the right club. There's plenty of room up there. I'm like, all right, I'm going to trust you. And then to hit a good tee shot on 18, it was kind of like that was the last shot of, like, you know, stress. And then walking in, you know, and then you got a 9-iron in your hands on 18. It's pretty straightforward from there. And then I didn't know, I stood on, you know, I hit it to 20 feet left of it, and standing on the green, there was a leaderboard right across the green. And so then finally I'm like, okay, let me take a look. And then I knew I had a few putts to get it done. So that was a pretty good feeling.
Is 17 the best bogey of your life? I assume I know the answer, but.
Yeah, if there's such thing as the best bogey of your life, that's probably up there. I mean,
I tweeted that exact thing. I was like, there's such thing as good bogeys, and I'm going to assume that was Hayden's best bogey.
Well,
and
the thing that is, like, that 4-footer that I had to make bogey was super hard, and – or not – I mean, it's like that's as stressful as it gets, knowing I really don't want to make double right here. I really don't want to make double.
Yeah. 18, you tap in, Hayden, everyone's there. Will you be ever be able to describe that moment, all you've been through, over your family's been through over the last 3 years? Is there words to describe what, I mean, it's mixed feelings, obviously.
Right. Yeah, it's definitely mixed feelings. It's definitely, there's a missing piece. But to have Emma and Annie, my dad, you know, and Michael, my caddy, to have them there, and to be able to give them a hug, and, you know, it was cool with my dad, you know, walking off and giving him a high five and a hug. Like, you know, we've been, the amount that they've sacrificed and the time that they've put, you know, my parents have put in junior golf and high school and amateur golf, you know, my dad's caddied for me hundreds of times and all of that. So it was pretty cool to have that experience with him and to share that hug afterwards. And of course with Emma and with Annie right off the green, you know, like it's so special to have them, because, you know, Emma has sacrificed a lot too, you know, in these last few years. And, you know, it definitely, I don't really have any words. Like, I don't have any way to describe it, any special way to describe it. Other, you know, it is such a crazy kind of feeling and year with all that's happened. And, you know, but we're so blessed and fortunate, and we've had amazing support around us and a great community of people around us, you know, which is, has been really awesome. And I don't really know how to describe it. Like it's a weird thing. It's just weird to kind of contrast those two feelings with Sage's passing, and then also achieving, you know, something I've been working so hard for and been wanting to do for a really long time. And, but all I can say is it's a huge blessing. You know, and there's nothing more that I want than to be able to share all of these new experiences and all of this stuff with Sage, you know, to have our family complete and to do all of this together. But, you know, at the end of the day, She is in heaven and rejoicing and no longer, you know, dealing with the world, you know, the things of this world. And, you know, yeah, all this stuff is amazing and achieving this is amazing. But there's much more to life and a lot of, you know, things that matter. I'm going to say matter more than golf, you know, that are more important than golf. And, you know, so we're very, very blessed and fortunate. And it was exciting to get to kind of spend, you know, those moments with Emma and Annie and my dad and everybody right after the round and go to dinner and then to see my mom back at home and all that stuff. It was awesome.
Emma, how are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
All right. We'll get to Emma Hayden's wife. Emma has joined us, but I think obviously the tragic passing of Sage, but I think Emma does a great job of keeping everybody updated on social media. But I think the casual golf fan, to both of you, has not realized the trials and tribulations leading up to all of this, right? Like there wasn't often Hayden and I text every once in a while. There was at least two or three times where you were in the hospital with Sage and then leaving for a tournament or not sure what the next tournament was going to be. So Hayden, it's just been like, it's been a sacrifice for everyone. Obviously Emma has been there for a long time. You guys have overcome so much.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things that, like, you know, just 3 or 4 years ago, I don't think we could have ever imagined kind of this journey that we've been on and the sacrifices that maybe we've had to make. And, you know, but fortunately, you know, Emma and I share a strong faith and the same values. And we've been, you know, from Sage's diagnosis to her life, you know, to now, we've always just wanted to give, you know, Sage, to maximize her life and to give her, to let her lead the way and to give her, you know, as much opportunity to express herself and to live the fullest life possible. You know, and now I think moving forward, we want to be able to continue to do that for future families and, you know, just kind of show the possibilities within trisomy and to show that it's compatible with life. You know, and we would not be here. I know that I would not be here, you know, doing this right now, having a PGA Tour card, none of that, without Emma, without my parents, without her parents and the people supporting us. You know, Emma and my mom specifically have put in so many hours and late nights and early mornings and all of that stuff to care for Sage and to make it possible for me to be on the road and chasing Mondays and mini tours and all that stuff. And, you know, so it's very special just kind of looking back at all of that stuff that has gone on in the last few years to now kind of looking forward to the opportunities that the PGA Tour presents and, you know, and then also just getting to be at that pinnacle of golf and do what I've dreamed of doing since I was 6, 7, 8 years old. And, you know, so it's very special and I can't thank Emma, our parents, you know, and just the community that we've had around us enough to, you know, because I know that I wouldn't be in this position if it wasn't for all of them.
At the end, Emma joins us. That part's going to be for subscribers only. It's super special. Don't forget to subscribe. She does an amazing job behind the scenes to make this family work, and you should listen to it.